people got their knickers in a knot, speaking of the media. We'll let that knot in for them. I think the department indicated to us that the idea was not to have the unintended consequences that clearly some people raised, and correctly so. The idea was really to deal with false and so on information. Now, and then we came up with a few other things Mr. Morgan raised, impersonation and so on. So what I've done, even this that's here now, I even will pull some of it out. But what I've tried to do is at least take the department stuff and just make it a bit clearer, I thought. But even some of this I even have on the technical stuff, not on the principle. Still have a question whether we need all that information. So firstly, we say no person may, there should be an A there where there isn't an A, but it should be an A, small a in brackets, may publish, disseminate, or distribute in any manner whatsoever any weather-related information, including a severe weather-related warning which consists of a potential imminent or existing threat of dangerous weather conditions. And then all this added, I think some of this can be left out, that may lead to a weather-related disaster within an identified area on a specific date or for an identified period of time, which, and this is the important part, he or she knows, believes, or ought to have reasonably known or suspected to be false or misleading. So that's one clear offense. Falsity. Fraud. And the second one, or incite or may incite public reaction and leads to or may lead to undue mobilization of resources, public alarm or panic, evacuations or economic loss. Okay? So that's a very clear, as I say, some of the words may be superfluous and one can take it out, but as a principle it's much clearer now. It's those kind of things you want to do. You'll see I've not specifically used the word hoax here, although I'm not completely opposed to it. It's just that I didn't have copies to the Act where I know we deal with hoaxes to actually see whether we specifically need to deal with it. So please just bear that in mind. I still need to look at that legislation and see whether... But in my view, the Roman 2, the little Roman 2, incite or may incite, in my view, is probably the kind of thing that is the hoax kind of response. So I'm not sure if we still have to specifically spell it out more than that. Secondly, to publish, distribute, or supply false or misleading information by the Weather Service, so it's just your usual fraud. Then, Mr. Morgan's issue, impersonate or falsely represent him or herself to be an employee of the Weather Service or purport to act on behalf of the Weather Service. Or, use of official corporate branding from the Weather Service or corporate branding closely resembling that of the Weather Service. I'm not sure that that comma there is right, but I've left it there because I think the such describes the second one. If you put a comma there, it may also then describe the part before the or, and that may be wrong. Such that it will be difficult for the reasonable person to distinguish between the two, with the intention to deceive a member of the public into believing that the document or message represents or disseminates an official document or message originating from Weather Service. Now, that's a much more nuanced clause in terms of branding, impersonation, impersonation of employees, false information by the service, and then false and hoax about the any weather-related information. As I say, I think that indeed that the comma before such should probably come out so that the corporate branding closely resembling that of the Weather Service, such that it can only be corporate branding closely resembling such that it will be difficult to reasonably distinguish. It can only apply to that. It cannot apply to the first part. I mean, the first part clearly it can't apply to. And then the word there is to deceive. I'm not sure that's the only word one can use there, because that is a strong test and a high test. If But in any case, that's what is there at the moment. All right. Any inputs, comments? Bearing in mind that I've said I have not looked at the specific wording of hoaxes, and that they may, that may still be tightened up a bit in the clause. Yes, ma'am? Yes, I know that, and I said I'm going to read it and then look at those pieces of legislation as well. I didn't want to put it in the pot now and confuse stuff more. So I will have a look at that. That'll help me a bit to look at it, okay? Yes, ma'am?
Personally, if we might suggest something, we do not feel very strongly about it. It's just to, the first part is a bit wordy for us, and we feel if we remove some of the wording, it might still be clear. And what we suggest is that it might publish, disseminate, or distribute, and then we remove in any manner whatsoever, any reader...
Don't remove that.
Any reader-related information. Can I just...
You don't say any manner whatsoever. You leave it open to the court to then limit it to certain kinds of dissemination.
Okay.
That's the reason why I put it there.
Can we at least remove any weather-related information, including a severe weather-related warning, and then add a warning of a potential imminent or existing threat of...
No, man, we wanted to move away from warnings. We're now going back to warnings, and then it takes us back to the act that only the weather service may issue a warning. We're back at the same problem.
Okay.
We're going back to the same problem by sticking it... By not going, I mean, the committee is suggesting to you to go wider and say any weather-related information. If you take it back to only a warning, then you go back to the Act, you look at the definition of a weather warning, then you see that a weather warning can only be given by the Weather Service, then you start interpreting that, okay, well, now you've got a problem, and we're going to get back to the same debate with the media that we had previously. I don't know why you people want to stick to the warning thing when we said it's the problem. And the way we try to accommodate it here is to say including.
Chief, but I agree, but can we then at least in the Roman 1 and 2, if you change the and to a or, and I feel by this linking A from the 1 and 2 that it can be or, then we sit with the same debate that we are
already or.
We had it previously as and.
No, this and is too high. The test is too high. It's false. If you give false and misleading information, doesn't matter if there's any consequence attached to it. It's false and misleading as a crime. Then secondly, the hoax part of things, where you say things which have a consequence. That is why it's dealt with in two. To create the consequence of it. Else you're going to... Now, you are now only limiting hoaxes to false and misleading information. Completely and utterly wrong. Yes, Ms. Darling.
The only... If we bring in then the hoax part in A, that is, then I do not have a problem with the all. But the problem at the moment is that if you link A with 2, then it's nothing about that it must be false or misleading or the hoax part.
But it doesn't have to. If you distribute information that has the consequence of inciting public reaction, not a reaction in one person, if you give information that incites a public reaction which leads or may lead to undue, underline, mobilization of resources, public alarm or panic, evacuation, or economic loss. That's exactly what you're trying to avoid. And if you leave out, first if you put an and, then you have to have both before it's a crime, which is clearly wrong. If you, and as I said to you, the second part, I still want to go and look at the wording of hoax, just to see if we need to add the word hoax there, or whether what, as it reads now, actually includes exactly what a hoax is, without having to say a hoax. That's really the issue. And so that can still be looked at. But now you must look very carefully. I've been very careful with two. Because you don't want to, an individual, Gareth Morgan, puts out something about a weather, and I panic, Johnny DeLange, and I run down the passage, I dive in under the bath, because I'm scared there's lightning and thunder, and I knock my head and I become brain dead, which I'm close to in any case. And now I want to find him guilty of an offense. No, no. It incites or may incite public reaction. So clearly the public. Now, you see, here also the thing, remember what Mr. Morgan raised about these private people. You don't want to leave them out because they're going to be a loophole, because then you take information there, you create a public panic, you say, but that wasn't disseminated to the public. But you're saying here it must be a public reaction. So if their information causes a public reaction that a whole area starts running, evacuating, or there's undue mobilization of resources to deal with it. So it's clearly a high test in two. It's not one individual panicking or two individuals or whatever. This is a public reaction which leads to undue mobilization of resources. So even if there is a mobilization of resources, the state will still have to show that it's an undue mobilization. That there was no threat ever, so the fact that we mobilized these resources was not there. So look at it in that context. Now, what I think, for me, what is wordy and what is not necessarily there, I think by putting, including a severe weather warning which consists of a potential imminent or existing threat to dangerous weather conditions, I think you don't need the word then. That may lead to a weather-related disaster within an identified area or on a specific date or in an identified time. I don't think you need all that. So I personally would want to, after threat of dangerous weather conditions, just take out that, put a comma, and take out all that stuff there. I think it's completely superfluous.
Yeah.
But it's there only because it was in your definition there. So I've just kept it there. And if that, sorry, just one point, Mr. Morgan, if that falls away, then the further definition at the bottom also clearly falls away. Whether you don't need it, okay? Because all that is, already the crime is wide enough to say any weather-related information, including a weather warning. You don't have to then go into details of explaining what a weather warning is. We know it includes that, okay? Mr. Morgan?
Yeah, I could do on 50A1, one of the proposed amendments, removing those last lines after condition.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the other issue is, and it's a definitional thing as well, if, let's say hypothetically there is no weather event at all, it's a beautiful calm day, and someone puts out a weather-related warning with all of these intentions, they still can't cause a weather-related disaster. They can cause a disaster, but of course they can't change the weather. So, I mean, I would say that may need
you take all that stuff and just create an ambiguity. So you remove from that may to period. Remove that. And then we'll still just come back to clarifying the hoaxes issue, but otherwise the sub 2 seems to be to capture what a hoax is in weather-related situations. And then the other ones seem quite simple, except no one's responded to that comma before such. Come out. It should come out. Because you want it, you want the part after all. Only that part must apply to the such. If the first part of the sentence applies to the such, then the use of official corporate, it doesn't make sense. It says, if you use official corporate, then you've used the official, you're not using a copy. Only when you're using a copy you say if the two are close enough that a reasonable person will think they're the same thing. Okay, so that comma comes out there. And then the deceive. I mean, what you really want is with the intention for a member to believe that the document or message presented, I don't know if you want to go as high as that they must be deceived to do so, whether they believe to do so. So just bear that in mind, circle that deceive. I'm not sure if we need to put the test at that level. Did I see a hand, Mr. Morgan?
Yeah, but it wasn't on that point.
Okay.
I'd like to get more of your thinking on 30A subsection B, the published distribution of supply false or misleading information about the weather service. I mean, this particular line can be related to the other point, but can also be something completely different. My concern with the line as it stands now is, I mean, of course, in a society, you know, no one should be publishing misleading information. My real concern is the possible unforeseen consequences here, which has nothing to do with weather-related events. It's just the ability for the Weather Service, with its strong legal department and backing, in order to bully and challenge other people who are actually competing with them in the commercial market. So, I mean, if you are offering commercial services, it would be quite normal for you say X, Y, and Z about a commercial competitor, and the Weather Service is a commercial competitor in the commercial sector. Now, I mean, I granted you've got published, that means, I guess, in the public domain, distribute could be between two individual parties with no public ramifications, or supply could also imply parts between two people. I fear that the line that it is too encompassing, it is too broad, this particular thing. It's not that I don't disagree that someone should be punished for hurting another organization. It's just, I think, too catch-all, that it could actually harm the robustness of people operating in the commercial field. If, for example, the Weather Service would say, hey buddy, in business X, we note that you are bad-mouthing us, and we're taking you to court. I mean, that's what we do. Often we are robust in our language. That's what I'm worried about. So really, Chair, I'm interested more in your thinking behind the line and what your particular defense of that line is.
Yeah, look, I mean, false or misleading is what I hang my hat on there. Because I think clearly, I mean, you need to create... what it is really is fraud. And although fraud is a generic crime that can be there, but what we do with agencies when we create them, we do create these generic crimes for them. However, that does not mean that the thing that you are worried about, that one could use this, of course, to try and intimidate people. But of course, again, my issue there is not, it's not the Weather Service that does that. The Weather Service may be a complainant and lay a charge, but firstly the police must investigate, and then the prosecuting authority must decide to prosecute. And I think that's where the protections are. That this is not like a civil case where you just get your lawyers to go for the other side. This is a case where there are other agencies that then look at the matter and decide whether they're going to proceed with it. So that is why I'm not too worried about it. But there is a mechanism that we've created elsewhere. I don't like to use this mechanism too much because it puts an unusual burden on your senior prosecuting authority. But where we've been worried about, that we worried that decisions are taken at too low a level, or that we are scared that you may find a manipulation of, then we've, in legislation, created the decision to be prosecuted. And we specify at which level that has to be done. So you'll find in some legislation we say the National Director of Public Prosecution must make the decision to prosecute. So what that means is some little Joe Soap or some little Johnny DeLange sitting down there feels very enthusiastic today. The Weather Service has laid a complaint about something, and then, of course, you want to make a name for yourself and you go for it. So to avoid that, or that you can get senior lawyers to intimidate junior people, you then make the decision at a certain level. Obviously, in this case, you wouldn't make it at the National Prosecuting Authority, at the NDPP. You'll probably do it at your regional director. Each province has a head of the prosecuting authority that runs the prosecuting in that part of the province. So that is something to think of, but I do think we shouldn't think of it lightly, because, as I say, what it does do, it starts creating disruptions within the prosecuting authority and how they do their work, and that certain things have to be put at a certain level. I think the fact that your police are the ones that have to decide whether they're going to investigate the thing at all and how far they're going to take the matter, and then your prosecuting deciding whether we're going to prosecute or not, I think are the protections that you have, that it shouldn't be able to easily be misused. But as I said, there is also the other options that one can look at. Mr. Morgan?
Yeah, let's engage you further.
Thank you for that. That is interesting. The issue I have here is really why put it in at all. I mean, cannot this issue be covered, isn't it already covered in other law? That, of course, if someone does this, you can, you know, simply sue them. I think you're saying you want to make it more of a criminal matter. But the point is, I still worry about the potential for bullying. And I'm not saying the Weather Service would use it, but I mean, I don't like writing law which could drag people through, you know, the stress of an investigation which is spurious, for example. I accept that the police would have to agree to investigate it or not. But I still think everything we wanted to achieve in these amendments is captured in all the other amendments, which I think are very, very well crafted. And, you know, we don't know what we don't know. And I just fear that this is too broad and can be covered in other law anyway. And so, yes, I mean, I'll apply my mind to it more, but for the moment, I think my preference is for B not to be included at all.
And as I say, in the end of the day, it's clearly the authorities will open themselves up to a malicious prosecution if they were not to go for false and misleading. If it was broader and something more innocuous than false and misleading, I would have a problem. But, I mean, as you know, we use the exact same words in the previous sentence. When it comes to the public and whether they give out information about it, if it's false or misleading, we punish that. And without having a specific consequence. And I think here, I think there are those protections. I think in the broad sense of the word, probably some of the common law, like fraud and things like that, may well punish it. But it will very much depend on how you disseminate the information and how the prosecutors actually interpret fraud. Fraud is a common law, a generic crime. So whether they say that specific set of facts. So all that we're doing here is we say when it comes to fraud, to falseness and misleading, when it comes to that, and you're making those statements about the Weather Service, we're saying that that is fraud. That's what we're saying. So it's specifically unpacking your possibilities of the common law crime. I think that's really what we're saying.
I understand the broad issues. What principally I don't like about this is I understand there are types of information or certain types of damage that you can do to the Weather Service's reputation, which may be very, very harmful. But I mean, how would this, for example, cover and or punish? I, for example, and I gave the example last time, I think, you know, that the Weather Service has, quite frankly, in my personal opinion, a weak website that doesn't offer practical information to South Africans. My personal opinion. And it is granted it is an issue of opinion, but let's say I back it up. I challenge the data. I might not have all the information. I accept, you know. I say it's you've misinterpreted the data, and clearly I have got it wrong. But I am merely, I'm actually expressing an opinion. The point is, what I'm worried about is that, and let's say, and I put it in the public domain. What I'm worried about is, of course, I may have very well got it wrong. But I may objectively be right if you could prove it that it's not a great website. But I may have got it wrong. I don't want the Weather Service taking me on and saying, you have harmed us by misleading the public about our information. Clearly we were right, you were wrong. I just want the ability to be able to criticize, or anyone to be able to criticize the Weather Service interpreting information, and even if they get it wrong, well, then they can be rebuked. I'm worried about the text here. And I'm worried about it being used maliciously.
And I think you've got a valid point.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't think you have a valid point.
Yeah.
I think you have a valid point. Because the problem is that the interpretation of false or misleading is a factual issue. So, you know, the way that you're going to criticize an organization, you say a competitor, for example, does that, it may not be false, it may be false. I mean, whatever it is. The fact of the matter is you're entitled to then go and lay a charge, and resources will be put towards it to examine it and so on. So, you know, I think, and in the context, and that's why I'm saying to you, and that's why I mentioned this, in the context of A and B, not just B, in the context of A, Roman 1, which is false and misleading, and B, I think we should put on the table the possibility of that matter only being prosecuted if the provincial, whatever they call them, NDPP, decides to prosecute, because that then immediately takes away your possibility of any kind of thing. So I think that'll be there. And I'm applying it to A as well, just because there was such a furore about freedom of speech and so on, and that you clearly would want to build in protections to make sure that that's not the issue, and that the issue is really one of criminality. I don't think there are going to be many of these kind of cases. I don't think we're putting an onerous burden on the prosecuting authority. As I said, I don't like doing it because you're messing up the natural. But in cases where you're worried, in this instance here, where you may be worried there's an abuse of freedom of expression because people are... I mean, no one can stop Johnny DeLange. No. No one can stop an official of the Weather Services going to the police and saying, I think this information is false, or this information is misleading. I want you to investigate and I want to lay a charge. And that is what you, I mean, I can hear what you're saying, where you leave open the possibility of opening up a door for people then to anything that may be said that's controversial. I mean, it may be even not of a commercial nature, it may be controversial. And in that, you don't like to, and you don't feel you've responded well enough, you then go and lay a charge because you think it's misleading. These people are misleading and saying misleading things about the Weather Service. So I can see your problem. I have always seen it there, and that's why I'm saying maybe what we should toy around is with the idea of the decisions on A1 and B. There is wording like that. There's a lot of justice bills that are avid in it. And just look at that wording. And that doesn't create any problems. All it does is strengthen the possibility that there can't be abuse. That's all it does. Because I think you can see where the problem lies. If the Weather Service and someone gets into an argument, say in the media, you know, and they're talking and they're talking and they're talking, and then the one party can go to the police and say they're misleading or they're saying false things about me, but the other party can't do it. You want to get the balance right. You want to protect the Weather Service as an agency. Well, this is a standard clause. I mean, we have it in many, many agencies. But on the other hand, you clearly don't want that abuse. And maybe the way to deal with it is this balance. But I'll leave it to people to think about. What they can do is, in the amendment, they can start putting it there. And if we want it, we want it. If we don't want it, if we agree we don't want it at all, we can take all of it out if we whatever. Anything else on around these offenses? Were there any other clauses in the bill? 13. Comments? Now, what I want you to do is clause 15. I don't like it that we've had big problems sometimes with the implementation of bills where it was left open-ended. And so I like a clause in 15. This act shall be clause blah blah blah. And a clause, and again some of the justice bills will come in, and that the act or the bill will come into operation no later than 3 months after the president had sent it. I think when the president is sent, he also places in the Government Gazette. Just look at the wording. You see what I'm trying to say? When you leave it open-ended like this, what it means is you then have to send a memo to the president to say, we want the act to come into operation a certain day. It means the executive decides when the act comes into operation. If you put it in the legislation that the act will be coming to operation, 3 months or 6 months, we can decide how much we want. After the act comes into operation. So what the department must do, they must go and look at this bill. Is there anything that you can't implement with start implementing within 6 months? Otherwise, we as a committee will then say 3 months or 6 months. And that then avoids, we as a committee know our legislation is coming to operation. It's not independent. You know, there are pieces of legislation I passed in this parliament 15 years ago that today still is not in operation. Not in operation. Because the mere fact that the president assents to it, he assents it, and that is a procedure that, but it only comes into operation on a date stated in the Government Gazette. So those can be years apart. As I say, some pieces of legislation haven't come into operation. I passed them in this parliament while I was the chair and justice right in the beginning. I know there's one clause on confession and another clause that have never come into operation because the police blocked it. And they, every time you try to get into operation, they, now, and the reason is, we as Parliament didn't at that stage say, we say this act must come into operation this day. We did it otherwise. So let's have, get that clause, it's a standard clause we put in there, and make it 3/6 months. We'll decide whether it should be 3 or 6. Mm-hmm. Is everyone happy with that?
Yeah.
All right. Now, what I want you to go and do, we've not decided on anything. If there's any media here, please, we've not decided on anything. This is still a process, it's work in progress, we've not gone to our parties, you know, and all that stuff. But what you can start doing now is you're going to take these amendments that we've processed today and at least put them in the standard form. You know, the way that we usually take and how we, as a committee, pass those amendments. We will at a later stage improve them. But at this stage, at least do that work. Except for three matters. Three matters have been flagged. Okay? The one matter flagged is who decides on giving a pollution warning. And I don't want a misunderstanding. What we are really debating is if it's weather. And if we say weather, then you guys must come and tell us that when they give such a warning, it's not going to just be a warning in the air. It's going to be a warning that will have these consequences. Or do we leave it with government, which has got the capacity to then relate to the Minister of Health, to the Minister of Industry, before they give such weather. Of course, How they relate to weather services to get the information is a different issue. When you regulate in your usual way, the issue is just who do we give that function to? Then, if we do give the function to weather services, I imagine even if we give it to the minister as well, this is a function which is not the information system. Does that affect our opinion on the tagging? So the legal advisors will deal with that part. Okay? So that's the first one we want to do. The second issue we flagged is the issue about whether there shouldn't be a specific removal procedure. Not the principle that the board does and so on, but actually says, if you want to remove someone, this is how it will happen. Step by step by step by step. As I say, when you remove someone, there's a crisis usually in the organization. So you want clarity, okay? You don't want then for people to start saying, well, what procedure? And then we drag it through the court. Remember, while you're dragging it through the court, that person, you can't do anything against them because there's no procedure you can follow. So it's that issue, okay? And then the third issue is, it's not really a flagging, but we need to get the wording more specific. Mr. Morgan has flagged B in the offences, but redraft them as we've done them now. I will also go and look at the hoaxes story more clearly and what you've written, and I'll go and look at those offences, whether we should make the wording quite clearly. But otherwise, keep it at that, and then put in that clause about the provincial DP deciding whether to prosecute in a matter, in offence, in A Roman 1 and A Roman 2. Well, let's not make it. Let's make it not complicated. Make it A and B. Make it A and B. So let's even do the hoaxes in there, because you may not, I mean, it may be so big that you wouldn't want to even, you want to give the discretion to prosecute, okay? And then, you know all the others. So you'll do all of that in the form of amendment. Chief, you're in charge, of this team. You will let me know. Please, don't do it as last time. Last time, after I saw you, you were like ghosts. I didn't hear a word. I had to write, I don't know how many SMSs to Mr. Lukey, who then told me I'm a fool in one meeting in public. Okay, he didn't say I'm a fool. But you could interpret it like that. In a public meeting where I said, Mr. Lukic, will you now give me your amendments, please, so I can process? He said, but you voted a long time ago. Your efficient secretary didn't process it. Now, I don't know if Mr. Lukic is right or whether my secretary is right. The fact of the matter is, you still remain silent. That silence shouldn't be there. I know I'm an intimidating human being. I mean, that you would never want to... But you get my number and you send me an SMS and say, we are ready with the amendment. Okay? And then I can at least say, well, now they're ready, I can look at it and say, are we ready to have another meeting or not? Because there's no use processing meetings now. And we don't know if the things are going to be ready by that time. Okay? No.
No.
You go and trace, process this.
Okay.
You go and do it. You know it should be tomorrow.
Yeah.
You should be ready tomorrow. In fact, all these amendments, if I was one of you, I'll do it quickly before lunch today. Wait, what time is it now? The amendments we've already given to you. So they're quick now. The only issue you have to go and do some further work on is the three flag issues. You need to engage within the department. You need on the first two, really. I need the first two. The second one is more a technical thing that we will decide here in the committee. But at least, and please make sure that the DG and the minister that briefs on what's happening, okay? So that we stay on board with each other. As we said, in the end, once we've got a package together, we'll in any case go back and make sure that everyone's on board. But these two issues about the process of removal and where we should situate that tower are two things I want us to clarify. And then the rest of us, will we please, of course, I'm actually wrong, we've also flagged 28, of course. 28 is also flagged, so that's the third one. The third one's not actually the 28. This judgment, Chileka will give it to you, so you can have a look at it. if I can recall this judgment, that's why when I read this, I kind of remembered, this is the one where the department gave President Mandela the right to amend legislation through proclamation. And the court said clearly that's not unconstitutional. And that's exactly the same principle as here. There may be some other judgments that followed on that, I'm not sure. So you can follow them up if you have to. If the law advisors give us any others, then that'll also be fine. And then please, if you can also look at the thing of hoaxes, whatever is given to me in terms of the legislation, please make me copies of the legislation. Make me copies of the legislation. And I think it's the Terrorism Act and there's one or two other acts, just so that we can also circulate that to members so we can. And so what we'll do in next time is, or as soon as we get clarity on those three, well, the fourth one is more not a principle issue. The principle issues are the first three. The fourth one is just to get the wording right of the offences. Then as soon as you're ready with that, you let me know, okay? And when you let me know, it doesn't mean that you've had to process it through your whole department. What you're doing is you're equipping me as the chair to be able to get my side of things sorted out. So it's no use waiting till the thing has been signed off by absolutely everyone has put their 10 cents worth, and then you say, now the amendments are in. That'll be December, more or less. Okay, maybe you're a bit quicker in your department, October. So I want you, when you finish with these amendments and stuff, and you've firstly, tell me yes, and so I can look at it. I'm not going to put it in the public domain there, so you can still engage your department. Secondly, you let me know when you've engaged your DG and minister on these three flag issues and what the issues are there, and if there are issues that we have to debate further, or whether it's an issue for us to sort out. Okay? Right. Are we clear? Everyone clear?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I thought that was a very worthwhile morning. That's very good. This has taken everything a step forward. I want to thank everyone for their hard work. You really are working nicely. Although you're trying to avoid me, you're still working well. So don't let that criticism affect you. And then we'll let you know when we'll have the next meeting about this. Please remember, for those that weren't here this morning, we're not sitting tomorrow. We're not sitting on Tuesday. We'll sit on Wednesday next week. And the two departments will come and give us their view of SONA and what tasks arise out of it and whether they're already dealing with it or not. And then I've also asked them to give us some input on job creation. Remember the last input that we had. So we'll do that next Wednesday, okay? Thank you. Meeting adjourned. ASC, Charlie, wait a bit quickly. Just one.